Today we're going to start off in Proverbs 22:6, though. So like I said, this is not our vision for the next 10 years. This is our vision for the next month to year. Let's go back and reevaluate after a startup and see where we're at. But through this, I kind of hope you get what we're doing. So what is youth ministry? Well, the simple answer is it's ministry aimed at youth, right? I feel like that's an oversimplistic explanation of what youth ministry really is. So the truth is about youth ministry is it's really everything about adult ministry. That's youth ministry. It encompasses everything about ministry. So Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. See, but here's the problem. Because when we read Proverbs, a lot of people forget that this is wisdom. Okay? When you go to Proverbs, these are not promises. These are wisdom. And the difference between promises and wisdom is, wisdom says, if you do this, then usually this is what happens. A promise is, if you do this, God will do this. So when we read Proverbs 22:6, start the children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. How many know someone who's a Christian family, who raised their kids well, and at least one of their kids is not walking with the Lord? Right? They did everything right. They did their best. They prayed for them, and they did everything. But they're not walking with the Lord. See, it's not a promise. How many know someone who grew up just in a completely horrible environment, ended up coming to the Lord? Okay, I didn't have that bad of an environment, but I was never taught the Lord, and I came to the Lord. Okay? Just because you train up a child doesn't necessarily mean that's how they're going to end up. But more likely than not, it usually works out that way, right? It's wisdom. Okay. So, it's really about the Holy Spirit, the salvation moment. Only God can save. Only God can have the perseverance needed to get through life, right? If the Holy Spirit hasn't come and saved that person, they will walk away. Those who have been saved remain in the faith. They might, wander off for a little bit, but God will bring them back. He's made that promise in the Bible. So when we think of raising children, there's a tendency to think that maybe the parents messed up. Maybe they didn't do something right. And I just want to erase that. I want to say, no, it's not up to us how our children actually turn up. We can help. We can pray. But ultimately, it is out of our hands what happens. The same with youth ministry. We can teach. We can exhort. We can disciple. And they're teenagers. A lot are going to walk away. Some of them are going to come back. Some of them aren't. But we will do our best to speak the message of Jesus Christ to them. That's our goal. It's not up to us what happens to them when they leave this building. But it's up to us what they learn while they're here. See, I think this is a good place to start with the topic on youth ministry. See, the problem with youth ministry is the goal has always been, previously, traditionally, morals. Our goal has always been to raise up upstanding, moral Christians, right? I mean, I'm sure some of you can think back to youth group where you had lectures on the morals of Christianity, the ethics, the legalism, okay? Well, we focus on the morals, and we focus on our ethics, and we just focus on all these things, and we forget one thing, Christ. It isn't the morals and the ethics that have the power to save. It's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, right? See, the truth is, moralistic teaching has actually caused many to walk away from the church uninterested in anything more we have to say. I'm not making it up. It's my job to study this stuff. I study the statistics of youth ministry from the past. And what's it saying? It's saying exactly that. All I was taught was morals. I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't even want to deal with church anymore. Judgmental people. That's what they're saying. See, ministry taught Christian morals, sin, coming judgment, but failed to mention salvation, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and most importantly, God's love. The church was so focused on courtship, sex, drugs, and other issues in society that it forgot where its power to change a life comes from. So what I think youth ministry is, I believe it is teaching children the love of God and helping them to learn how to respond to that love. You know, so when we talk to adults in church, we talk that it's not the law that saves you, but when we turn our heart to Jesus, we naturally want to follow him and what he tells us to do. But we get to youth ministry and it becomes, well, you need to do this and Christians don't do this. Do you see a problem there? Okay. So we begin. Okay. We cannot start with morals and expect life changes, especially in the current world we live in, because the current world we live in says there is no such thing as objective truth. It says there is no such thing as objective morals. What you believe is right is different from what I believe is right. You see the problem there? How can you teach morals to someone who's being taught that it's all relative? So we begin with the simple truth that separates our message from every other message in creation. That message is Jesus Christ came to save you because God loves you. You can be forgiven. That's where you start. Okay? And then what do? Then we teach them, once you've accepted Christ, here's how we respond to that love. It's not a legalistic, if you don't do this, you are not a Christian. It is a continued walk. Remember I talked that continued walk of sanctification, that getting better all the time. It's not an instant. We become a believer and we're instantly changed. Man, I wish it was sometimes. But see, we're so focused on these morals. We're so focused on the laser light shows and the fog machines. We're so focused on conferences aimed at purity and abstaining from drugs. Where was Jesus? Where were we saying, Jesus comes first? You need to have a relationship with him before any of this even matters, right? See, one of the things we can do is discipleship. It is one of the most powerful tools that God has exemplified for us. You spend time with people. You spend time with people doing what they want to do. And then you earn the right to speak into their life and share the gospel with them. That's one of the most powerful tools we have in youth ministry. We're going to talk about that a little more. But that could be as simple as maybe we have a bunch of kids and you guys want to host a dinner at your house and show them what your family looks like and how you pray before meals. Maybe you want to go do something with the kids, or maybe you just want to come and play basketball for a little bit. So you don't actually have to buy them things because they don't really care about that. The problem is nowadays that their parents are glued to screens just as much as they are. They're not getting attention at home. They start acting out. Okay? Kids are blank slates. There are some sin nature, of course, But kids do things for a reason, right? Now, there are other things. There could be medical reasons why they're doing something. But generally speaking, when they're out causing trouble and vandalizing property, it's probably because maybe someone wasn't paying attention to them. The statistics show that if the church pays attention to the youth, they commit far less crimes. Does that make sense? When you show love to them, they don't need to go get it from somewhere else. Okay. That dead horse. Beep, beep, beep. So yes, train up a child. You train them up in the love of God. The Savior that has purchased them, not as slaves, but as children, adopted into the kingdom. The love that gives them value even in the hardships or times where they feel unlovable. The Holy Spirit will testify to them of the truth. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption and sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Abba, the Hebrew word for dad, but it's the children's word for dad. That's interesting. "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are in God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory." So when does our youth ministry begin? Well, it already has. Before I even came here, you guys had Awana, Children's Church, VBS. You guys were already doing stuff. You were already making a difference in the area, in the community. And, you know, I don't want to embarrass any of the youth leaders here. I'm not going to ask you for stand up and receive applause. I'm not going to. I just want to say that what you're doing matters. It matters to the kingdom of God. Every moment you spend with those kids, every scripture you teach them is leaving them an impression of Jesus. Okay, and that might not bear fruit for 20 years. But there will be a time that knowledge that you give them, that spirit that you're impressing upon them, they will have to come face to face with it. And for our youth leaders, Matthew 18:5 says, "And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So, I know you guys don't want the credit from heaven or on earth because, you know, we're looking forward to the riches of heaven, right? So, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for putting so much time into the kids already here. What are we going to be doing? What are we doing now? Well, VBS happens every summer. We just did it not too long ago. We have Children's Church coming up again, Awana, Sunday schools for the younger kids. But now we started the junior high and high schoolers Sunday school. This has been awesome already. We have had the chance to minister to a couple kids through this that didn't even come to our church. I'm hoping they come back, so pray that they come back. But they already have heard something of Christ through the study, the chronological study of the Bible. We've already started making a difference. See, in Sunday school, they're learning that the Bible is not just some random collection of books, but it's historically important and documents who God is, who His people are, and what He has done in His creation. We look at it from a chronological standpoint, not from a book-to-book standpoint, because it's easier to grasp story point A to Z, right? If we have to go back and all over the place, it's kind of hard to get a feeling of where things actually come in. So by walking through chronologically, we can really stop and examine what's going on at this point in history. So what else do? We talk about apologetics. If you want to get into youth ministry, start studying apologetics. because kids ask the hardest questions. I mean, they are tough. There are plenty of times where I've had to say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. When we came to God driving out the people in the land of Canaan before the Israelites, do you think maybe we need to explain why? Why they were supposed to destroy everything, kill people? Or should we just let that go and let society tell them God is evil? Because that's what society tells them about what happened there. That God was wrong and that innocent people died. Innocent people died. The Canaanites, innocent people. Okay? So yeah, we need to stop as we read the Bible and explain a lot of things to them. Because the world is trying to tell them a different view. They're also learning 99 doctrines of the Christian faith. So this would be like God's attribute of mercy, love, grace, sin, basically just the doctrines. And we walk through a short little period of doctrines. And also it shows how every story points to Jesus Christ and the coming of Christ. That's kind of one of the reasons I chose this study, is the focus on Jesus. And the fact that it had apologetics built in, so I think that's very important. We've begun opening our gym on Saturday mornings. That's been a great ministry. We have people who do not come to this church come to open gym. There are kids who come there, and I've already recruited 3 boys who don't even come to this church who want to go to Challenge next year. So we are actually reaching kids, and we haven't even been able to leave the building yet. We're just opening it up for the community, and they want to come. They want to come play. They want to come listen. They want to talk. They want some questions answered. Kids have questions. So it's a time when I get to spend playing games with them, and then I get to maybe say something. By spending that time with them, they listen to me. They want to hear what I have to say. And if you want to be a part of that, that's an awesome place to start. Because you're going to be able to change lives. Now, every Saturday, especially lately with the JFL and soccer and all the other sports starting up at the high school, numbers have dropped off a little bit. But I'm going to spread them out a little more and let's see if that piques interest again. So, but yes, Saturday morning is a great time to learn the children of this area and be able to speak into their life. We've already started making some strides into some very difficult communities in this area. Recently, I've had the chance to minister with an LGBTQ student. This is a tough ministry. This is a group who's at war with Christianity, whether we want to be or not. And I tell you, I don't want to be at war with them. They're telling these kids that we hate them, that we want nothing to do with them. So the first thing we have to do is counter that by doing what? Showing them love. That's the first step. We can't even begin to talk about Jesus until we show them we don't actually hate them. That's a tough ministry, people, because you have to break down a lot of barriers. So be praying for that student. I'm not going to put them out, of course. But be praying for that student. Be praying for my wisdom to speak to them and the Spirit to be with me to lead them. I really hope that some fruit is starting to bear out of this. See, one of the big pushes in youth ministry right now is actually, you heard it in this video, is to lean in the Creator to get your value from God. And why? Because the world is saying that your value is in whatever you want it to be. And a lot of kids are going to the LGBT community. They're finding their worth in their sexuality. Instead of Christ, they're finding what makes them happy is there. And they don't even realize this can't bring happiness. It can't. it brings destruction eventually. It brings heartache. It brings pain. See, actually, I'll tell this story. I'm not going to put names up. I had a boss at one point who was a homosexual, but is maybe one of the best examples of being a homosexual and a Christian at the same time. You know, some people might go, how is that possible? Well, remember when Paul says, and it's best that maybe some of you don't all get married? Well, he abstained from all relationships. See, his cross, the way he saw it, his cross was his sexuality. He's tried very hard. He's prayed for it, and this just keeps coming. Remember, Paul prayed for that thorn to be removed? Well, this is his cross, and in that weakness, God is being made perfect because he's picking up that cross daily, and he's saying, yep, I struggle with this, but this doesn't control me, and my identity is in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's a hard struggle. But he has been one of the best examples of how this life, this community can't overcome Jesus. So, when I think about him, I say, we can't pronounce judgment. We can't tell someone they're going to hell. That's not for us to say. And I'm definitely not going to say that to a youth who has lots of time for God to do his work. So when they come here, we show them love. They become part of our community. When they ask the tough questions, we tell them. And we don't compromise the truth. We stand on, yeah, that is a sin. I'm sorry. It is a sin. Sorry, not sorry. But that's not the end of where the discussion is, okay? We say, that's a sin, but there's nothing Jesus can't overcome. So what about the future? We're expanding Awana. I talked about that a little bit. Middle school, maybe into high school. That's all depends on the interests of the youth. I will pray that we get some, and I'm hoping we actually do. Part of the reason is if they go to Awana through high school, there is some scholarships that I would like to help them get. Things like that. But, I mean, if they're not interested, then that's fine. We're going to be getting to work into the high school now. One of the things that I'm trying to do is do like a coffee and donuts thing where we just set up a table with coffee and donuts. And as the kids come in, we just say, hey, good morning, and be cheery. And we have some flyers out inviting them to come hang out with us. Come hear the message. But really, we're there to show them the love. Okay, whether they come here or not, whether they go to Bethany, whether they go to the Baptist church, whether they go to Lutheran, I don't care. As long as they're hearing God, I don't care. I'm not a sheep stealer. I'm not. I just want them to be hearing the message of God. And one of the best ways to do that is to first show up where no one else is and saying, hey, have a great day, guys. Here's some coffee. Here's a donut. Go have some great days. It's going to be fun. You know, school, I know it's hard. Let's just get through it. And even if the school doesn't let us put out flyers or pamphlets, eventually the kids start asking, who are you guys? Why are you here every week? Like, well, we're the youth leaders over at the Brimfield E-Free Church. And we just wanted to come and be a blessing today. Maybe you'd like to come and hear what we have to say someday. Here's the Thursday nights. See, once they ask that question, there's nothing the school can do about it. But they have to initiate. Now, that's actually not a bad thing because, yeah, once we allow one thing in, we have to allow everything else in, right? So, but that's one of the ministries that we're starting. What that'll do is feed into our high school youth group, our outreach group, where students who have heard, hey, these guys come and they say good morning and they help and they give us coffee and help us wake up a little bit, they actually care about us. I've seen this work. It's something we've done before in another youth group, and it worked awesome. Because the kids just, once again, want someone to actually care, acknowledge them. So the youth group on Thursday nights is going to be going out into the community. We're going to be looking for those who never heard Jesus, the lost and the broken. That's the aim of that one. And what's that look like? Well, coffee ministry, discipleship time on Saturday mornings, from Awana feeding into it, all the other programs that that comes out of. I mean, hopefully we have kids from our church. We don't have that many in that age group yet, but hopefully some will come. But this isn't going to be an easy ministry. It's not going to be a pretty ministry. When you have that many kids who are broken in one area, there's going to be problems. There's going to be personality conflicts. There's going to be pushback on the message. There's going to be some who don't even want to hear it, but they like coming and hanging out and having youth leaders actually acknowledge their existence. It's the pathway. And like I said, we might not know this side of heaven, the impact we have. But 20 years down the road, they might have to come face to face with Jesus when they can't get through something. And that message that you delivered, that's going to come to mind. All right. So what do I need? First of all, I need volunteers. I don't care if it's driving kids to youth group, just being on standby. Hey, I need a driver tonight. Can you help? I just need someone to go pick up some kids. I need drivers. I need people who want to bring snacks. I need people who want to lead a small group. I need people of high school kids. I want people who want to help and just chaperone to events we do. All right, so let's say that maybe being directly involved with the youth group isn't your thing. Maybe you don't feel called to be part of that. That's fine. Go where you're called to go. Serve where you're supposed to serve. Just because it's my ministry doesn't mean it's yours. But what else do I need? I need the gym done. If you're good with tools, get it done. If I'm here, I have the time. I'm not counseling or I'm not preparing a message or doing something that I can't take a break from. I'm going to come help you because I want it done. I need it done. I need us to be progressing in that. So come, help us get this done. Whatever you think you can help us with, that's what I need. So actually in Psalm 71, 15 through 18, if you had to pick like the biggest, I guess, scripture that I'm going to use, the central theme, I guess this would be it. My mouth will tell you of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are come. See, I love Psalms because the poetry can be so beautiful. I love the way that words can paint images. Old, gray-haired man, youth to old. I love that. It's not just some abstract picture. You can actually picture that. But even in poetry, we see this theme here. Serve, right? We can't get past that. He says, to pass on his works to the next generation. There is a duty, whether you're a parent or whether you're a youth leader. There's a duty to pass on the message of God to the next generation. But do you see where it started? Verse 17, 71, 17, since my youth. The psalmist was taught of the Lord since his youth. If you think you can't possibly teach about God, like, I'm not that good of a teacher. I don't use words very well. I bumble. Yeah, I do too. You don't have to be perfect. He says right here in verse 15, though I know not how to relate them all. Even a master of language here, a poet, can't express all of God's works, all of who he is. What hope do we have? You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be invested. I'm not perfect. You have all heard my sermons. I say things I shouldn't. I'm not a language master. I am just a student. And I have great teachers, and I have great mentors and great friends that I disciple with. And I hope I'm improving. But I'm not perfect. Don isn't perfect. He'll tell you that. He's things he would like to improve on too. You don't have to be perfect. The message is, he, the psalmist, will speak. He will open his mouth and tell the next generation. See, really, if you don't feel called to be part of this ministry, then pray for us. That's all you have to do. What I'm really asking is that when you leave here, pray. Pray about how you are supposed to interact with this youth ministry, whether that's to serve, to pray for us, to bring us snacks. How are you supposed to be part of this ministry? That's what I want you to pray about. If you feel this is your calling, I really need your help. You want to teach the Sunday school class? Great. I would love to make a schedule with you, if that's what you want to do. I have the book. I will get you the book, and you can go through it, and you can teach it how you want to teach it. I'm not even going to put regulations on you have to follow this book word for word. Here's the message. Here's where we're at. Do with it what you think is best. Pray about it, but do with it where you're led to do with it. That's what it is. So, but we also need the classrooms. I need the gym finished so we can start doing the movie nights. I need the gym finished so we can start. Well, the Sunday school classroom has no floor. We did get a rug donated to us. Thank you. We really appreciate that gift. We will use it. But yeah, there are things we still need done. So, all right, dead horse beaten. If you want to go and work with Awana, please, we need leaders there too. Challenge. You see me advertise this every time I preach, and don't worry, I'm running out of challenge videos. So they haven't put out one in a long time. So, oh, they put out the 1 30-second one for this year's theme or next year's theme. But I'm running out of videos, so there won't be too much more left of those. But reason I'm really pushing this is challenge. You know, I can make fun of the laser light shows and the smoke and the entertainment, you know. But challenge actually does all that and then talks about Christ. They actually are doing more than just entertaining the kids and teaching morals. So yeah, I want kids there. I've heard about it. I've been hearing about this and how much I need to go for a long time, because it's just supposed to be an amazing youth opportunity. We've talked about the coffee and donut ministry at the school. That's really easy. We come in here, we brew coffee for a little bit, take it over there. It'll be good coffee, not Folgers, because kids don't like the Folgers. They like the expensive coffees. All right. So it'll be those kind of coffees that we'll be getting at a discount. But and then we're just going to go over there and be a presence. That's the first thing. They have to meet us. So why? Here's my big thing. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am a gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is trying to show the people who have never heard that verse the truth of Jesus, so they can unleash their burdens, put them on Jesus, who does what? Erases them. That's the message we're reaching the kids with. So I hope by now I've kind of answered the why, but there's other reasons. Like, I was watching a YouTube video, and this was on a Christian campus. And they were going to kids on this Christian campus and asking them what the Bible was. This isn't a secular school. This is a Christian campus. And the kids would say things like, it's a guideline to how to live your life. Or, it's a code of morals. They had no idea what the true meaning of the Bible was. Let's go do that at the high school. What do you think the response is going to be there? Not a clue. Maybe some of the kids, but I guarantee you, we're not going to have a very good response. That is why this is important here and now. We can no longer stand and do nothing while the enemy is telling lies to the children of this town. We're to become more active in this town, and we'll be bringing the fight back to him. So why youth ministry? Because there's a lot of hurt and broken kids in this community, and even in this small community. You wouldn't believe what I've already been told. Maybe you would. It's a small community. You all know everybody. So some of you might know some things. See, while the kids are being told that everything is relative, so their hurt is relative, their pain is relative, their morals are relative, everything is relative, we need to stand in direct opposition of that and say, no. Truth is not relative. Truth is God. His way, his will, that is truth. When the world says that they're random occurrences, and we say no. When the world says they don't mean anything, they're not important, we say no. We teach out of the book of Genesis. We say, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. You were created by God in his image, and that gives meaning to your life far beyond what anyone can tell you in this world. Your meaning, your life, your importance is from God. Your image, you were created in his image. He has given you value beyond what anyone, anywhere can give you. So stop listening to the world and listen to God. He loves you so much that he has purchased you with the blood of his own son. You are not worthless. Remember? One of the capstone verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when that's not enough, when you think you can't be forgiven, you just go right to the next verse. It's right in line. And it says, verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And if that's not enough for them, we turn to Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Stop listening to the world telling them what you're worth. God has already purchased you. You are in his image. 5:1, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord in Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, pray. Pray for us, pray for our ministries, pray for the messages that will be received, pray for the kids and their spirit to be there. Just pray. Pray to be involved. Pray how you can be involved. That's what we need. We also need you to pray for those in power and in positions at the school, that they won't stand in our way. That's what we need. We need the help of the school. If they want to block us, it's going to make our ministry a lot harder. So pray for them as well. But that's what is going on in youth ministry right now. So